The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning, everybody. It's a Saturday. 42 will be the high today. A rain, snow mix. It goes away tomorrow. 68 on Sunday. Back to work Monday, 73 degrees. Thanks for being here. We were talking about Columbine, and we'll go back to a topic with George Brockler, who I listened to George the other morning with Jeff and Billy. He was incredible, and he had, of course, gone through the 2012 Aurora Theater shooting, but he had so many great thoughts, and I invited him to come on. In the meantime, it's interesting just now to mention his name makes people go nuts on the on our website. I don't know, Dick, why have you drawn to the Lightning as well as you have? Dick Wadhams is here. Man, people, and by the way, we have Dave Williams next week, so looking forward to that. But why do you think you have angered up all these Republicans?
Well, Peter, I would assume that the people who express those feelings are people who are very loyal to Donald Trump and his lies about the January 6th attack on the Capitol, him saying that he would pardon what he terms the hostages and political prisoners from that attack on the Capitol. He still contends the election was stolen. These are people that buy off on all that crap. And so I take that on in my columns and what I say in my day-to-day just political work. And I've tried to hold the state party accountable for its excesses. And it's the state party is a cesspool right now, Peter. The party is being driven deeper and deeper into being irrelevant and impotent. And it's going to continue that way. And just this last week, we saw where the state party is now asking Republicans to send money directly to John Eastman, yeah. The guy who's about to be disbarred, the guy who's under indictment in Georgia, the guy who told Donald Trump that he could basically ignore the Electoral College and steal the election from Joe Biden.
And a close friend of mine.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, so I'm sure I get a lot of backlash about this, but guess what? I am right. They are wrong. Yeah. And they ain't going to keep me from doing this.
You know, Eastman got, and I've never heard the term before, debanked. Did you see that story? He got debanked. Now, one of the things I plan to ask Dave is, you know, why are you urging people to send him money? He's lost his license to practice law. As you said, he's been RICO'd. He got debanked. I suspect, well, I'll see what happens with all of this, but why would you want to send him money? I don't know if he can represent anybody anymore since he's been disbarred.
I don't think he can. I don't think Colorado recognizes him as a lawyer once he is disbarred. I assume that Eastman has made a lot of money off the Colorado Republican Party, Peter, because the party tried to go into federal court here in Denver and get a preliminary injunction suspending Proposition 108 so they could deny the unaffiliated voters, 1.7 million unaffiliated voters, the right to vote in party primaries, and a Denver district judge shut them down totally rejected their argument. So, but they're going to try it again. They're going to go to court. Eastman was the lead attorney on that. I'm sure he made a lot of money off the state party. Maybe that's the question to ask Dave. How much money have they already paid him, even beyond the 50 grand that he's urging Republicans to send him? In fact, Peter, I think that there could be a Federal Election Commission violation by sending money directly to him and not routing it through the party. I think that's questionable, frankly. I'm not a FEC attorney, but It's interesting that rather than running it through the party like they did before, they're asking for contributions directly to Eastman. I think that's shabby, and I think he should be asked about that when you have him on next week.
Did you, by the way, read Eric Sonderman's piece on rhinos that he's now called? A rhino is Republicans in the name of sanity. Did you see that piece that he did? Yeah,
I did, and it was excellent. And Eric is right, Peter. You know what I love about that crowd that condemns anybody who does not worship at the altar of Donald Trump and his lies about January 6th and the stolen election conspiracies is a rhino. This has nothing to do with principles. It has nothing to do with supporting Republican candidates. It has everything to do with pure, total and complete loyalty and fealty to Donald Trump and his lies. And that's what they base everything on. That's what the state Republican Party is based on right now. They attack anybody who, this crowd tell me that the people who I've worked for in my background, U.S. Senator Bill Armstrong, Hank Brown, Wayne Allard, Bill Owens, were rhinos during their time. They might have not been called that at the time, but they were rhinos. They weren't true Republicans.
Sure.
I mean, honestly, I mean they can't even accept the service and performance of people who were elected in the past and their success in doing that in Colorado. And this crowd, Peter, the crowd that is jamming your website, these are the same. They haven't elected anything in Colorado. They nominated Dan Mays, of all people, for governor in 2010. They nominated a guy who called himself a principled constitutional conservative for the U.S. Senate who lost, Michael Bennett. They haven't elected anybody. And yet anybody who has been in the part of some big wins in Colorado in the past, they can't stand. They reject that.
Also, a week and a half ago, Colorado's, I guess, second highest court agreed that the Dominion, which is the, and there's also an earlier part of this where OAN settled with Smartmatic. There's a guess on how much money, but it's undisclosed. We've often talked about what happened with Fox News settling with Dominion for $787.5 million. And now the three-judge panel for the Court of Appeals has concluded that the guy who was director of product strategy and security for Dominion had suffered, and he can go ahead and sue, too. And they can go after, I mean, this is just the beginning. OAN settled. Where do you think all of this goes, Dick?
Well, I'll tell you what. Dominion has been on a roll. As far as I know, they've won practically every judicial case they've been involved with. I see no reason why they're not going to continue to win, because the crap that was thrown at them and the lies that was told about them across the country and right here in Colorado is reprehensible, and people who did that should pay.
Well, they got the green light on a lot of this, and I think we were talking, this was off air, and when OAN settled, OAN settled with Smartmatic, and Smartmatic is really a small firm compared to Dominion. I believe Smartmatic only counts Los Angeles County, but it's the third settlement involving these networks who had told lies and continue to. The lawyers just haven't gotten to them yet, but Smartmatic has lawsuits against Fox and Newsmax and some others. But isn't it interesting that when, particularly Fox, which is the giant, why they didn't go get Mike Lindell, why they didn't get some radio talk show host, why didn't they go get Congresswoman Green, Congresswoman Boebert, and put them on the stand to show that judge how that election was stolen from Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Why didn't they do that?
Well, because they couldn't.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Because they don't have any, because it didn't happen.
No,
and they know that.
I mean, why? If I, you know, my back was to the wall, and there's so many great books now, particularly about the Fox decisions and Rupert Murdoch. But why didn't Rupert, with, I mean, they must have paid, God knows what they paid the law firms. Why didn't they go get Mike Lindell, who was used all the time? Why didn't they go get Marjorie Taylor Greene? Why didn't they go get Lauren Boebert? Why didn't they get any number of talk show hosts? Why didn't they go get these people and put them on the witness stand in front of that judge and say, here's how it was stolen from Donald Trump?
Well, they didn't have a case, and they knew it. And,
that's right.
And Peter, I think it's interesting. They had, you and I both know, they've got the resources, vast resources, to have fought that to the end if they wanted to, if they thought they could win, and they didn't.
Yeah.
So I think these other entities and people who are in the crosshairs of Dominion, I think that if I were them, I'd be kind of nervous.
Yeah. And again, Smartmatic. It was, I read quite a bit, as much as I could. It's called the Herring Networks, is what OAN is. And they, some people are claiming $2 billion. I don't know. That's a pretty high number, but because it was undisclosed. But they settled. They settled a lawsuit, including one. It's called One American News, and the defamation of falsely claiming that the technology of Smartmatic rigged the 2020 presidential election and Joe Biden stole it from Donald Trump. Now, when you're going to be in that moment and you're OAN, why wouldn't you put Mike Lindell on the witness stand? Who's that woman that Lindell gave money to here in Colorado? And she's always, I mean, go get these people. They have the answers. Yeah.
Tina Peters.
There you go.
Roll out Tina Peters.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. No, they know they don't have a case. That's right.
They should know. But why don't they?
Right.
And anytime I hear it, it's like, why don't they go and get these people that you lionize and tell me, like, well, they're truth tellers. Good. Put them on the stand.
Mm-hmm.
Go bring in my close personal friend, John Eastman, as your star witness to how the election was stolen.
Right.
Because he has affidavits. Right. He has affidavits.
I remember listening to that affidavit.
Yeah, that was the beginning of the end. But I have affidavits. I said, I'll sign you one. So, I don't know. But it is interesting, and Sonderman, and like I said, I personally, Dave Williams is a friend. We have lunch together. I like Dave a lot, but boy, this thing is, this whole Colorado Republican Party, I don't know what's going to happen.
He has totally driven it off the rails, Pete. I mean, in refusing to resign chairmanship when he got into that 5th District congressional race, spending state party money to support his campaign, endorsing Lauren Boebert in the 4th Congressional District just arbitrarily with he just decided the state party was supporting Lauren Boebert. These are things, Peter, that haven't been done in decades, if not 100 years, that Central Committee has existed. And yet he has defied. There is no law, there is no ethic, there is no bylaw that he feels constrained by. He only wants to feed his ambition.
We will see.
And everything's a fair game then.
Well, like I said, I like him immensely, and I was the one that dubbed him the half-blood prince when all of those things happen. I've been told he'll be with us, and maybe even in studio. I got to give you an idea of what's being said as you're with us. Dick Wadhams is here. Oh, that black swan might be you. You need to back off and shut the F up. You know, I've listened to you for 30 years. I've about had it. Shut the F up. And then he does something with my name. Okay, fine, but what are you angry about? I'm cool with it, you know, but just tell me what you're angry about. Peter, please ask Wadhams why he thinks the Democrats are so opposed to voter ID.
I support voter ID. I don't have any idea. I don't speak for Democrats, so I don't know.
Isn't Wadhams a Bush Republican? No, I'm sorry.
I supported George W. Bush twice and his father twice in terms of voting for them. I was never involved in their campaign. What's the point?
They never talk about what we're talking about.
No,
if only Dick Wadhams had 100 Walker Stapletons, he could turn Colorado red again. Okay, what does that have to do with? Yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, Peter, I never was involved with
Walker. I know you weren't. I know.
Never in any way. I don't know.
No, I mean, but no one's saying what they really think, and that's the Trump one and, you know, all the rest of it.
And
they don't say that, but so they, it's called dancing around a little bit, but there's some lengthy ones, but they're almost too inane. So before we go back to open lines, what does happen? These guys are...
The Republican Party is in a downward spiral, and I don't know when it's going to hit rock bottom, but it's it just continues to go downhill. They're going after they're alienating 1.7 million unaffiliated voters who represent nearly half of the Colorado electorate. That's a really brilliant strategy, I think. They are abusing party finances by sending money directly to a guy who's been disbarred and is under indictment in Georgia, who has been discredited by his attempt to try to reverse the Electoral College 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I mean, there is nothing going on in the state party right now, Peter, that offers any hope that the party is going to have any positive impact in this election cycle.
I got a call from an unnamed source that said, by the way, Peter, and these are people and they said that Eastman had been debanked. And I said, what's being debanked? And the banks don't want anything to do with him. And on this and in the state of Colorado, you're being asked to send him money and he's debanked. They asking you to send that money to California, or is there an account here? I mean, I don't know. But but he was debanked. And my understanding from talking is banks just shut the doors on him and said, this is an analysis, not a comparison, but it's like when all the corporates dropped OJ. Remember, the Hertz couldn't get away from OJ quick enough. And I'm thinking, did this bank just not want Eastman's name involved with them? And got rid of them and just dumped them. So I don't know, if you send money, where do you send it? To Eastman. So I don't know. But again, it's more of the same.
It's more of the same. It's not going to end.
No. Is there ever a moment? Is there ever a bottom? Is there ever an enlightened second where they look at one another and say, and it may be, I don't know, even when they write the checks, or whatever they do to have to pay people off because they were sued and lost, do they ever look at one another and think, we screwed up?
No. They are so bought into the cult of Donald Trump and his lies, Peter, they will never do that. Never will do that.
One of the things that I wonder, like Sidney Powell and particularly Sidney Powell and some of the, you know, she made a deal. She cut a fat rat. She rolled in RICO. What's she going to say?
Yeah.
That time is coming.
Yeah.
All right, sir. Have a good day.
All right.
Thanks, Dick. Dick Wadhams, everybody. All right, we have open lines, 303-696-1971. Again, Dave Williams will be with us next week. I'm a big fan. I mean, I named him the Half-Blood Prince, had lunch. I like Dave immensely and don't understand all of this. But why they continue to talk about sending money to John Eastman. 303-696-1971, Columbine High School shooting took place April the 20th, 1999, in Littleton, Colorado. And today, of course, marks 25 years. George Brockler is coming up. Also, in Middle East is on fire again. We'll go to the phones. We good? Lou, you want to take a break? What do you want to do? I'm watching the man. 42 will be the high. We'll try a call, I think. See what happens. All right, we'll try Bill. Bill, you're on the radio show. Good morning. Thank you.
Hi, Pete.
Hey.
On the Eastman deal, I don't want to get into the election crap, but it's Bank of America and USAA have said, hey, we're not going to do business with you. And it's simply a political call, which I believe is inappropriate for a corporation to do that.
That's what I understand. We talked about it, debanked. It's not comparing OJ to Eastman, but an analysis. When OJ gets into the spotlight, every big corporation in the world that was using OJ as their spokesperson dropped him like a hot potato. And somebody or some bank board made a decision, we don't want to be associated with Eastman for what's going to come.
Right. And my point on that is, I never knew that he had an account with USAA or Bank of America, nor did anybody else. I haven't seen it anywhere.
I didn't know.
They just said,
I didn't know it either. I didn't know it either.
And Pete, one quick request. I'd like to hear you address the insanity that Trump is going through, where the legal system is being used against him from every angle possible.
You know, I listen to the people who say, why now? Well, he blocked every attempt to get that into court years ago. I mean, that the Stormy Daniels thing has been floating around. And now the cry is, oh, you waited until now and I should be out campaigning. But he used his lawyers to slow down and stop and try and keep that out of court in the first place. And it just finally worked its way through. It's the same thing watching the RICO in Georgia, in Atlanta. And it's got its problems, I agree. But eventually somebody is going to have to stand too for what they did. And
right, but if he has two district attorneys that campaigned on the fact that they were going after him.
I agree.
No. Whether you hate Trump or you love Trump, I don't want to even get into that. But, you know, this flows both ways. But, you know, the Republicans probably don't have the nerve to do something like that in the big picture. Go after, you know, to use the justice system.
There's never been anybody quite like him. Donald Trump. And had he, and I had this conversation with the same guy that called me about debanking, had Donald Trump shaken Joe Biden's hand and gone to Mar-a-Lago and kept his mouth shut, he'd be walking this back in. But instead, we now know they began generating these lies in June, and the people who lied for him are now standing and being fined and flipped and job losses. Why? It just isn't in his personality. But why couldn't he have walked away and become the lion and winner and waited? Donald Trump.
On that point, I could agree with you. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I voted for the guy two times. I mean, he would have walked this thing back in. And as part of hush money, there's nothing wrong with paying payoff money. I mean, people do it all the time, but it's, did he take campaign funds and pay her? And they're going to bring all of these women out. You watch.
Well, but the feds didn't want to take the case on. They looked at it and said, there's no case there under federal statute.
Yeah.
That they should pursue.
It's not illegal. There's ethics involved in it, but, I mean, the Stormy Daniels story and the Karen McDougal story and, like I said, I've read Donald Trump's life, I don't know, three or four different times. He seems to have the same set of problems. And one is women. One is whether or not he has enough money or how much money he really has. And the third is his relationship with the media. In his early life in New York, the media loved him and he loved the media. And both of these women tell the same story, by the way, that he was going to get them on Apprentice. You've got to get them farts on his television show. But and that's not against the law. None of that's against the law. I don't know.
Hey, Pete, thanks.
Thank you. Very good call. Thank you. 42 to high today and 68 on Sunday. Monday, 73 degrees. Peter Boyle, 710 KNUS, 27 after the hour. And you heard me talk. And low testosterone. Look, a bunch of old guys in the audience. And I'm an old guy. But I'm here to tell you. And I was in the gym early this morning, 5:20. I'm in the gym, right? But all this other stuff, all your workouts and your energy levels and everything goes with you. But it is your sex life, your sex drive. We're old guys. Come to terms with it. There's good news. Rocky Mountain Men's Clinic. And take the low T quiz on the website if you want to. 10-question quiz, yes or no, as it takes 2 minutes. Then schedule a consultation with Rocky Mountain Men's Clinic. I'm good friends with Jeff Dillon. And Jeff's the man. And I've been through this. I'm here to tell you. Thumbs up, shoot the dice. Rocky Mountain Men's Clinic has served the Front Range of Colorado for nearly a decade, successfully treated tens of thousands of men. Look, I get it. You know, when I hear people selling this stuff, I go, no, you're missing the point. Have you been and been through it? And yes, and the answer is yes, yes, all yeses. 720-440-7900 is the phone number. And you call Rocky Mountain Men's Clinic. There's a bunch of locations to serve you. And tell them you want to take go through this, and you will be amazed. You will be absolutely knocked out. 720-440-7900, RockyMountainMen'sClinic.com. Tell them Peter Boyle sent you. Do we break, Lou? What do we do? Lou says take a break. It is Saturday morning, 710 KNUS. Dave Williams promised to be on the show next week. Can't wait. 710 KNUS. Morning, everybody. Saturday, 710 KNUS, Denver's Talk Station. It's good to be here. Kind of nasty weather for a Saturday, but it looks pretty good for tomorrow. 25 years ago, today is the, it marks 25 years ago today that Columbine High School shooting took place. We still haven't mentioned what's going on in the Gulf. You can join in. The Trump hush money trial seats a full jury starts on Monday. Hopefully Dave Williams with us next Saturday. Let us go to the phones. We'll start with Don. Don, you're on a radio show. Good morning and thank you.
Well, first of all, I may or may not like Dick Wadhams with the whole passion, but I think he always stands up for what he sees as the truth, just like you do. And, you know, I've stopped using the term rhino for so much because, I mean, you still won't like the Bushes for their involvement in the wars and all that. And, you know, while I'm not hearing about the other stuff that Trump did from other talkers, some of them are sincere, others may not be. You're the one that's still on this like a vinyl player needle. So we need to hear that. We, you know, in talk radio, we need to hear what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. And that's just one reason why I'm starting to like Jon Stewart and Bill Maher, because he's telling their respected audiences, pretty much liberal to left, what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. Yeah, well,
once again, there that great line, I think it was Grace Slick, when the truth is found to be lies, something inside you dies. And that the lie is coming to an end. And I just bring up the examples of in courtrooms today where major media outlets, Fox in particular, and the other lesser ones, have really and said that they have lied, and or many of them they're in non-disclosures. They don't admit anything, but they just pay off. And Fox pretty much did the same thing for $787.5 million. Don, why didn't they go get Mike Lindell? Why didn't they go get the people that you are talking about? Why didn't they go get them and put them, Republican Party members, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Tina Peters, why didn't they bring them in and put them on the stand and show the evidence to a jury or to the judge about why it was stolen? Why didn't they get Donald Trump to come in and explain how it was stolen from him? They didn't. Because why? Because they know the truth, that it would have made it worse. Rupert Murdoch himself, in his private conversations, knew that he had to cut that number off, because if he had gone into that courtroom, if he'd have gone into court, it would be $100 million.
And until there's ample proof that there was a stolen election, except that Biden won.
Yeah,
I have.
Yeah, no, I mean, he didn't win by much, but he won. And I had you think about that man, Donald Trump, had he shook the man's hand? You know, I mean, look, we know historically that Harry Truman didn't talk to Eisenhower all the way from, you know, I mean, all these different, they don't have to like each other, but, for, you know, be a gentleman, shake the man's hand, and then go back to Mar-a-Lago. They couldn't do it.
But you know what? In my mind, the more we see Biden and what he's doing, the more I'm glad he didn't shake the hand, you know.
But, well, you know, I don't care. No, you do it. It's because the creation of this country is predicated on this peaceful.
True. There's some truth to what you're saying.
Well, that's the truth.
You know,
it is the truth.
I said it was the truth.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that both sides, you know, are becoming more and more honest with themselves and showing their loathe and contempt for each other.
Look,
that's all I'm saying.
It's not a zero-sum game. Because you believe these things about Donald Trump doesn't mean you support Joe Biden. And that's the stupidity of the thought process of these people. No, Joe Biden is a disaster.
When I hear it from you, I agree with you on that. But when I hear that from somebody that is definitely a partisan, if that's a Jen Psaki or Rachel Maddow or any of that, I blow them off. But from you, it's different.
Well, you're kind. But like I said, it's coming down to what's known as not cutting time on the ranch. And when these guys throw in the towel, when Fox threw in the towel, that should have been fair warning. And Fox News right now, I don't watch Fox News. I've had my fair share of it. They have no idea what they're doing and where they're headed. But
they're gonna recover just like the
absolutely
legacy
will.
Media does.
Absolutely will.
And so will NPR. And so will NPR after the running
isn't
out of that one guy who's one of them.
Isn't that that's a hell of a story? You're right.
Yeah.
And they fired him.
Well, that's what they say. I think they wanted him to quit. They asked him to quit before they gave him the pink slip.
Remember, there's this moment in our business, and you know somebody's off the building. Did they jump or were they pushed? It doesn't matter. They're off the building.
But, I mean, you knew that he was not going to be at NPR that long, but they didn't want to make him a martyr like Juan Williams.
Sure. No, I agree.
Juan Williams was a martyr.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And Juan Williams is just as liberal and more so as a Fox News commentator.
Absolutely. He's the token guy. Listen.
Well, not as much. I mean, you got Jessica Tarloff and Juan is not on the five anymore. I mean, the other liberals.
But again, I swear to you, I don't watch Fox much anymore at all.
I know, but you know what? Fox is still more to the center than OAN and Newsmax. And I'll tell you the truth. You know, and this goes for Salem as well. Don't eat each other. The legacy media is not going to eat each other. They're united in what they believe in.
I wish that were true. You take care. Thanks, man.
You have a good one.
All right. We go to JJ. You're on a radio show. Good morning. Two lines are open. 303-696-1971. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter. How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you.
Heavy duty subject today, Stormy Daniels.
Don't you? we began with Frank DeAngelis in the 25 years since that terrible day. I wanted to roll it into the Middle East too, and then George Brockner is coming up on the show in just a little bit. So it's a good show.
Well, I pushed our that then you've met her before. She's now 20 something, but 2 year old through Columbine, you know, for the memorials and all that. And, you know, as a parent, you're thinking about the situation and the difficulties that, you know, we're dealing with and the horrible, you know, actions that took place there. But, and actually when George Brockley was running for attorney general, he had an interview with the redheaded gal that used to do the morning show, their afternoon show. She used to be on your show, and she was interviewing George in the food area there as you walk into Columbine.
Okay.
So I was sitting there talking to a friend, and she was interviewing George, and he was running for Attorney General. It was an MC1 event that I attend.
All right. You.
And honest to God, I don't know if you believe in this, but I think you do, because you used to do all that ghost, you know, overnight ghost house sitting. I could feel so many things going on just, you know, in that school. And this is years later. That was only, what, 4 or 5 years later, you know, ago. But I realized that I was sitting, and I didn't realize it at the time, but I sat down and I was in the, what's the name of the place, where they serve food in schools, and I could feel.
Oh, yeah. No, you, you know what? It's interesting you say that, because the first time I walked into Columbine, and the people that I knew that were there in the aftermath of that horribleness, but when I first went in, it was the first Emily Keyes parade, and we were on our motorcycles. There. And what you say is true. I mean, and everything has been reconfigured, and, you know, the library is no longer there, and, you know, all the different things that they did. But you're absolutely right. I mean, there was a and regardless of what you are and who you you know, what you feel, I think you're right. I mean, I do. I felt that.
It affects you. Yeah. It affected me, and I also have been to, like, I think you just went to the Battle of Little Bighorn. When you're in places like that, you can feel it. It's almost like an air or a fog that goes through you, but it's actually your brain.
No,
I pray for all the families today that are lost of their loved ones in that school. We were walking through that place just crying as parents. It was just horrific, and it still is, actually.
Everything you say is true. I mean, it's I went to I had met Frank for lunch, and then but the first of the Emily Keyes parade, this was before MC1. MC1 doesn't happen until the tragic loss of Dave Baldwin. But and I went in there, and you're absolutely right. You can feel it. I don't know.
I walked up to Frank at MC1, the last one that you had in September, thanked him for everything he did. What a strong man.
Someday... When the stories are really told about what he went through and the aftermath of that, what a good guy. Wow. I mean, one of a kind. All right, man.
Well, on another day, I'll call you back about Peter Brock. Yeah, thank you for having him on this show, the famous car designer, and Alan Grant, because they're coming to town in June, and I want you all about that.
We'll put him on the show.
This is not the day for it.
We'll put him on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Right.
All right, where do we stand here? Do we break? The man says break. 303-696-1971. George Brockler coming up. The other morning, I was driving to the gym, and I was listening to Billy and Jeff, and Brockler was on. And he was just amazing, talking about Columbine, and, of course, he went through the 2012 Aurora Theater shooting. And I called him, and he's really busy running for office. I said, George, give me a segment, if you would, at 11, so he will. Dan Kaplis Law Firm, and Danny suggests that who you choose as lawyer shares your values, because who you choose represents you in an injury case that it says a lot about you to everybody involved in the case. Dan is the son of a police officer. He's a former seminarian, longtime friend. He truly is a friend. We text each other. He's dedicated the last 40 years of his life to helping people who are hurt in serious motor vehicle crashes. He helped our family. Danny's believed to be the only lawyer in Colorado history to win 5 straight multi-million dollar verdicts in Colorado crash cases. He's believed to have won the largest truck crash verdict case in Colorado history. He's the attorney, law firm partner of the Nuggets and the Avalanche. And Kaplis's Law is a serious firm for serious cases. Danny accepts righteous injury cases on percentage fee basis. He can represent good people from all walks of life without regard to ability to pay, to get Danny's help, or just fire a question off that you want answered. 303-770-5551. 303-770-5551. Or hit DanKaplisLaw.com. It's Kaplis, CAPLIS Law.com. 10 before 11, 710 KNUS. Denver Stock Station, Saturday morning. Peter Boyles, 42. The high, Brockler, George Brockler at 11. Back to the phones we go. There's line one. Ralph was on line one. Good morning. You're on the radio show. Thank you.
Good morning. With George coming up, how shall I say? I'm not going to steal anything. You're going to be talking about Columbine with him anyway. I'm very happy. I used to be a member of the California Bar, resigned because of age, and I'm very happy that your friend is no longer a member of that bar.
He got disbarred.
Bingo. And he got disbarred on a number of grounds. I'll just let that go.
Yeah.
But we're going to have a very interesting show in New York that basically could be titled, What Are the Size of Donald J. Trump's Cojones? That is, whether or not he's going to testify in his own defense.
He says he's going to take the stand. He said he's going to take the stand, but I would doubt that. Why would you?
I think, as a lawyer, I could never recommend anything like that. The problem is this. Trump is going to get up there in front of the court and the world, place his hand on the Bible, and say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. This is Donald Trump. Okay. What happens when the prosecution starts attacking his testimony because he is testifying under oath? That's what they call credibility.
Oh, sure. No, listen.
And in order to attack a man's credibility, you can pretty much ask him any question about anything he's ever said or anything he's ever done. Did you ever lie? Did you ever commit fraud?
He can't refuse
to answer if he takes the stand.
By the way, because I always think about your phone calls, I started a new book. It's entitled, Gangsters of Capitalism. The life and and times of Smedley Butler.
Yes, I just got it at the library.
I'm telling you, what a book! And you have caught up and talked about Smedley Butler, and I've read about Smedley Butler before. He was 19 years old. He was a Marine captain in China. He's been shot twice. I mean, but this guy puts it together about the everything that goes with it. But I thought about you. We've never met. I know your voice. And the Smedley Butler book is, and I didn't realize that they sang, if it was good enough for Smedley Butler, it's good enough for me. I never knew that.
Yes. Well, there's another portion. I don't know when you get to the end of the book, but also during the early Roosevelt days, they, the rich people.
Oh, yeah.
Tried to hire Smedley Butler.
That's how it opens.
To stage a coup.
That's how it opens.
Yes.
They wanted him. They wanted him to coup Roosevelt.
Exactly.
No, it's of all people.
I mean, it's nobody's heard his name, but I think he's one of the most important Americans in history.
I got to tell you something, and you've mentioned him in calls, and I've read his name in passing, but he went to Cuba. And he was involved in all of that. And he joined the Marine Corps. I think he was like 14 years old or 15 years old. And, there's those legendary Marines, and Smedley Butler's part of it. And then he goes to the Philippines. He's involved in that. And I'm as far along in the book where the opium wars have taken place. We've talked about this many, many times. Mm-hmm. And now he's dealing with the Boxer Rebellion. And I didn't realize, because they were kung fu guys is who they were. But when the British and an American missionary saw them, all they can think of was boxing. And so they called them the Boxers. And so they were martial artists. They were Chinese martial artists. I'd read all that before, but I didn't know how they got that name. And it was just amazing and who that guy was. So
may I make a suggestion to you? It's fiction, but there's a string of books by George MacDonald Fraser. It's called Flashman.
Huh.
And the Flashman and the, what is it? Can't remember the name. Anyway, look at Flashman. as he's a fictional hero. And fundamentally, it is a story told from the British side of the Opium War and the sacking of the Summer Palace outside of Peking. You will love the series, I have a feeling.
I mean, I this is a guy who really is kind of, and then finally realizes, at least in the preface of the book, realizes what he has been through and what he's watched. He's absolutely fearless. I mean, he's a true hero. He's one of the, a double CMH. I mean,
double Congressional Medal of Honor winner.
Oh, man. And then, you're right.
And
he's in retirement. Roosevelt, and he's an FDR fan. And actually, he went to Cuba with Teddy. Went to Cuba with Teddy Roosevelt. But
that's right.
No, I mean, he's just like, and I can't wait to get this guy on the show. And he's in retirement. You know, he's the lion and winner. And they come to him.
Oh, fantastic.
And they want him to coup. They want him to run a coup against Roosevelt. And, I mean, I've there's so many great books. And I have, and what I was going to finish it up before we get there is the guy who, we're going to try and get him on a show, the guy that got John Gotti. And I had a big talk with Chuck Monowell about jury selections. And in the end of it, Sammy Gravano, the first time they try and get John Gotti, and he walks away, it's that woman, Diane Jackalone. And so when Gravano rolls over and John Gleason's talking to him, and they got him hidden out at Quantico, and and they said, well, we lost that last election or that last trial. And Gravano said, sure. And he said, what do you mean, sure? He said, we had it fixed. We rigged it. We rigged. That's right. We rigged the jury.
Well, I mean, how shall I say? Let me make three quick points. Number one, Flashman is everything that Smedley Butler was not.
We got a minute, Ralph. I got a minute.
Two. I do not think that I think the jury will hang. But the problem for Trump is basically everything that he says on the stand can be used for perjury against him.
He's not going to take the stand.
He's not going to take the stand.
He says he will.
He hasn't got the...
If he does, I'll be amazed. I got to pull the pin. Thank you. Coming up on the other side, the one and only George Brockler, who, of course, and we'll get George's take on all of these things with Columbine and what he went through with the Aurora Theater shooting. But he's a one-of-a-kind. George, coming up, open lines continue.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.